and welcome to South Sudan in Focus on The Voice of America. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Washington. Here are some of the top stories making news across Sudan and South Sudan this Monday, April 1st, 2024. The wife of the former mayor of Juba Town says her husband was picked at gunpoint by armed men over the weekend.
They came in two vehicles, one pickup and tinted Toyota Noah. Some of the officers were armed in uniform while others were not armed.
And some women leaders in Central Equatorial State say the national and the state governments should support women across the country.
Women in the market are suffering. When they ask for prices in the market is bad. 95% of women are suffering because of the market prices.
We'll have these stories and more coming up on South Sudan in Focus. The wife of the former mayor of Juba City says her husband was allegedly picked by an unidentified armed man who took him to an unknown location on Saturday night. And Grace Joan says Callisto Lado was allegedly beaten and taken at gunpoint by armed men. She is calling on the government of South Sudan to immediately release her husband or present him before a competent court of law. For VOA News, Viola Elias reports from Juba.
Angres Juan says armed officers surrounding her husband at the late hours of Saturday manhandled her husband and drove him to a unknown location.
He was pulled out of his car, and when he wanted to find out from them what was happening, the officer in charge immediately instructed the officers to beat him up. He was brutally beaten and quickly thrown into the pickup down. They immediately divided themselves. Some got into his car while others in the military vehicle. Then they drove away. They came in two vehicles, one pickup and tinted Toyota Noah. Some of the officers were armed in uniform while others were not armed.
Joanne says she does not know where her husband was taken. Dina Nyoka, an eyewitness, says Callisto was detained in front of her house in the late hours of the night in Monuki residential area. Nyoka says she heard commotion that night, adding it was dark and she was not able to identify those involved.
I heard the sound of beating and wondered what was happening at night. So I opened my door and saw cars, but I didn't see the people next to him because it was dark. The incident happened at around 12 p.m.
Joanne says her husband's phone has been turned off and nobody knows his whereabouts. She urges the government to release her husband or present Callisto to the competent court of law.
I am calling on the government to release him as soon as possible, because how do they think his children have been coping since Saturday? His children are young, and the last one is only 2 years old. If there's anything he has done or committed any crimes, I beg the government that this country has laws. The government should legally take him and open a case against him. He should be taken to court, and the public should know what crimes he committed and has been taken to this place.
Callisto Lado has been vocal about land grabbing in and around Juba Town by individuals and group of armed men. He has openly accused some community members from Jungle Estate for allegedly grabbing ancestral lands in Kumbo, Rajaf and Jebel Lado villages. Mary Kajelona, civil society activist and human rights defender, condemned the arrest of Callisto Lado. She says security officers need to implement the law as provided for in the country's constitution.
The issue of being beaten before arrest is a big problem in this country, and as a civil society activist and human rights defender, I would like to say that we need to adhere to the law, and brutal beating is not provided for in any law. Number two is that when somebody is being arrested, the arresting authority needed to inform the family and identify themselves. So, and as a human rights defender, I would say that one, the family has a right to know where he is being kept. Number two is that at least he should be arraigned in court.
Since the arrest of the former mayor, many individuals have taken to social media platforms demanding the South Sudan National Security Service for his release. South Sudan National Police spokesperson Daniel Justin says the police had no information about Callisto's arrest and no case has been opened against him in all of the police stations.
Well, even as we don't have any idea about this, there is no case against him in our police stations. Still, we have just got the information on the social media. Well, that one is with our CID department, yeah. So we are not talking about what we are doing. Now, people are suspecting national security, so if you can ask the spokesperson of national security, you might have an idea.
When contacted for comments on Callisto's detention, the spokesperson of South Sudan National Security Service, David Komore, says he has no information about Callisto's detention. He promised to comment on the matter on Tuesday.
We are for Easter and it's ending today. So if there's any confirmation, we'll start from tomorrow. Up to now, the information did not reach to my table as a spokesperson of the National Security, but I will consult with the leadership tomorrow. I request that from tomorrow onwards, you can inquire if there's anything.
In 2021, Callisto Ladu was appointed as the mayor of Juba City Council by Governor Emmanuel Adil Anthony and was removed the same year after spending 8 months in the office. For VOA News, I am Viola Elias in Juba.
Some South Sudanese in the diaspora say they are not surprised by the arrest of the former mayor of Juba Town. They say Callisto Ladu might have been arrested for speaking about rampant land grabbing in and around Juba by armed individuals. We are joined live by Jock Madut Jock, who has also been vocal about the situation in South Sudan. Jock has also criticized the government on several occasions for doing very little to address lack of service delivery, corruption, and the culture of impunity. Jock Madut Jock, welcome to South Sudan in Focus.
Thank you, sir. I'm happy to be here.
Yeah, let us discuss this situation in South Sudan. I mean, last week when I was interviewing the Minister of Foreign Affairs, James Morgan, he said the country has freedom of speech. You can say anything and nothing will happen to you. But over the weekend, Callisto was picked. We don't know why he was picked, but it's an open secret that Callisto has been vocal about land grabbing. How is your initial reaction to this situation?
Well, the reaction is similar to what his wife has expressed and what others on the program have talked about, the human rights defenders, which is that because of Callisto's vocal address to the issues of land and land grabbing, the suspicion is that the government has taken him. And the suspicion comes from things that have happened like this in the past, where people have been grabbed from near their houses and were detained incommunicado. And so it gives people nowhere else to point but to the same government that has been doing this sort of things. And so there are three issues with this case. One, of course, it means that the government is not serious when they say that the country is a free country where any citizen can say whatever they want to say so long as it is not endangering anybody's life. And it clearly doesn't follow that rule that says a constitutionally protected right of the citizen to speech, to expression, is being curtailed by these kinds of actions. And this is not the first time this has been done. So we have nowhere else to look but to the national security, because the ordinary police, the civil police, is not involved in these things. The second problem with this is, okay, if somebody has committed a crime or is suspected of any kind of transgression, what is this thing of picking people and hiding them, when the law clearly says anybody accused of anything has to be arraigned within 24 hours? And now it's going to 2 days, and there is no word from the authorities about this. Where does this law come from, where people can be snatched and detained without any judicial supervision? No warrant of arrest, no accusation, no charges, and people are just being detained in darkness. what kind of country are we living in?
Coming here, I mean, a lot of people are saying they are not surprised. Are you surprised?
Not at all. I am not surprised. I am ever more enraged because there is no end in sight to the suffering of people at the hands of their own government. So while I'm not surprised, I'm shocked that the government that says it's run by a party called the SPLM, which is a party that says that people are free and that it works for people's freedom, and yet these things are happening at its own behest, at a government that it has run for 19 years. And so there is a big problem in this country with regards to basic rights. The third problem with this is this idea that the national security has now become the civil police, has become the law enforcer, to the point where people don't know whether these incidents are being done by criminals in the neighborhoods or are in fact being done by national security. And national security has blurred the lines by constantly doing these things. So citizens will not know one day when somebody is snatched by kidnappers. There will be no knowing whether this is a criminal act or an act by the government. And the government is becoming similar to the criminals.
All right, Jock Madud Jock, thank you very much for speaking with us on this detention of the former mayor of Juba, Callisto Lado. That was Jock Madud Jock coming live from Syracuse in New York. Some women leaders in Central Equatorial State say they are ready to help in peace-building activities in the country. Veronica Juan, the chair of the Women's Union, says women at the grassroots are suffering due to widespread instabilities. For VOA News, Juliana Shiapai reports from Juba.
Some women leaders in Central Equatorial State say the country's economic crisis has taken toll on women who are struggling to feed their families. Josephine Nadia Michael is the deputy speaker of the Central Equatorial Women's Union. She said South Sudanese are surviving in the midst of a very difficult economic situation.
We are suffering. Life in South Sudan and Central Equatoria at large are not well. Women are tired, many children have died, and pregnant ones too. This is all because of hunger. This Easter, we are entering it with sadness. Nobody is happy because a lot of bad things are happening. The government is not taking care of women, and women gave birth to them. They say behind every strong man there is a woman, but now the women are starving. How is it going to be in the future?
4 in 5 people living in South Sudan endure extreme poverty and 70% needs humanitarian assistance. Women and girls bear the brunt of deprivation, shouldering disproportionate responsibility as caregivers, breadwinners, and protectors of families. Basilica Pony Jada is a member of the Women's Union. She says the national and state government should introduce projects aimed at women empowering for sustainable peace and development.
Women in the market are suffering. When they ask for prices in the market is bad. 95% of women are suffering because of the market prices. If you ask for a price of a soap, which was 500, it is now 2,000 South Sudanese pounds. You do not know what to do. We ask our president to stand with us because he is capable.
The Central Equatorial Women's Union threatened to hold a peaceful demonstration to express their frustration with the government of South Sudan. The women leaders did not specify dates for their planned demonstrations. South Sudan is witnessing a tough economic situation after the country cancelled sales of crude oil for the month of February and March. Civil servants and members of the organized forces have not been paid, have not received their salary for 8 months. For VOA News, I am Juliana Shiapai in Juba.
Listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Coming up, Pope Francis calls for an immediate ceasefire in the conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. That story is coming up right after the break.
Hello, listener of South Sudan in Focus. We have an exciting new segment dubbed Words of Wisdom. We want to hear your thoughtful proverbs that echo through your community. This is another chance for you to share wisdom from your roots. All you need to do is record a proverb in a language of your choice, tell us its English translation and what it means. Keep it brief, authentic, and represent your community. Your recorded proverb shall be sampled on South Sudan in Focus every Wednesday. Send your recording via our WhatsApp number, +1 202 630 8011. That is +1 202 630 8011.
You are listening to South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America. Pope Francis calls for an immediate ceasefire in the conflict between Israel and Hamas in Gaza. This as Christians around the world celebrate Easter Sunday and relief teams struggle to deliver aid to besieged Palestinian territories. VOA's Arish Arabsadi has more.
Easter Sunday in Vatican City. Before a packed crowd at St. Peter's Square filled with flowers, Pope Francis delivered a message calling for peace in Gaza.
Inoltre, faccio nuovamente appello.
I appeal once again that access to humanitarian aid be ensured in Gaza and call once more for the prompt release of the hostages seized on October 7th and for an immediate ceasefire in the Strip. Let us not allow the current hostilities to continue to have grave repercussions on the civil population and above all the children.
Calls for aid to Gaza have recently taken shape as a convoy of ships left a port in Cyprus Saturday carrying some 400 tons of food and other relief supplies. World Central Kitchen says the crafts carried ready-to-eat staples like rice, pasta, flour, canned vegetables, and proteins, enough to prepare more than 1 million meals. The United Nations warns that famine could strike northern Gaza as early as this month. The United States military, along with regional partners, continues delivering relief in the form of airdropped pallets filled with food and water. But the deliveries can be spotty at times without any organized distribution method on land. Israel declared war on Hamas following an October 7th surprise attack by the militant group in which it killed 1,200 and kidnapped more than 250. Israel has since placed a stranglehold on the entire region, pummeling civilian infrastructure and restricting the flow of aid. Health officials in Gaza say more than 32,000 Palestinians have been killed. The United Nations International Court of Justice issued two provisional measures in a case brought by South Africa accusing Israel of genocide, a charge Israel flatly denies. But for many Israelis, an ongoing war isn't the answer, as they took to the streets demanding their government sign a ceasefire agreement with Hamas in exchange for hostages still held by the group Western powers identify as a terror organization. On Sunday, at the Church of the Holy Sepulchre in Jerusalem, widely considered the most holy site in Christianity, the Archbishop held Easter Mass in a church emptier than years past, as since October 7th, Palestinian worshippers need special permission to cross checkpoints into Jerusalem. Arash Arabsadi, VOA News.
Cameroonian opposition politicians and members of the civil society are encouraging citizens to learn from Senegal, where a 44-year-old politician was recently elected as the youngest leader on the African continent. They say it's time for change in Cameroon, where the world's oldest leader, Paul Biya, aged 91, is attempting to extend his term in office, which has already lasted for over 40 years. Cameroonians are being encouraged to register to vote in large numbers ahead of Cameroon's 2025 presidential election. Moki Edwin Kinzika reports from Yaoundé.
Nothing has generated debates on the streets, in offices, within political parties, and in Cameroon's media organs so much as Senegal's March 24 elections. Participants in this debate program, aired by Equinox Television, say civilians in Central African countries, especially Cameroon, Chad, Equatorial Guinea, the Central African Republic, Congo and Gabon should emulate the example from Senegal and democratically oust leaders who keep a tight grip on power and rule with an iron fist. Ngamsi Theodore is a 35-year-old teacher who hopes Cameroonians will get inspired by what just happened in Senegal.
The results of the presidential elections in Senegal and the entire process send a very clear message to Cameroonians, especially the youth. Register and vote. If you don't register, you won't vote. And if you don't vote, you won't have that chance of having the leaders that you really want. So register. That is a clear message. That's the lesson we get from the Senegalese situation.
Opposition candidate Basiru Diomaye Faye is now Senegal's president-elect after winning a first-round victory fueled largely by young voters. In Cameroon, opposition and civil society groups say voter apathy is high because elections are always marred by fraud. 91-year-old President Paul Biya has won all presidential elections since the return of multi-party politics in Cameroon in 1990 and is preparing to run again next year. The opposition says Senegal's election shows it is possible to stop leaders from clinging to power. Senegal's president, Macky Sall, attempted to postpone this year's election but backed down after widespread protests. Mbang Boniface is a member of Cameroon's Renaissance Movement Party. He says youth can remove Biya from power if they register as voters, choose their candidate, vote and defend their votes if necessary after the polls. He says Senegal's youth massively voted for Basiru Diomaye Faye because they believe only young people can effect changes needed on a continent where leaders are generally old and out of touch with the views and aspirations of the population.
Of course, Senegal is sending a very strong message to Cameroon. The Senegalese president is 44 years, meaning he is young and able to understand the problems of the youth. Here in Cameroon, we have a president who is 91 years. He started ruling when Faye was just born. Faye is able to understand the problems of the youth, unlike here in Cameroon, where the youth will have to sort their problems by themselves.
But Samson Websey, political analyst at Cameroon's National Institute of Management and Technology, says it will be difficult to oust Biya in an election. He says, unlike in Senegal, where government institutions are independent, Biya has loyalists planted throughout the government.
Senegal stands out as an exception to what happens in Cameroon, where democracy is suffering from military involvement in politics. Parliament in Cameroon is virtually at the beck and call of the executive. The judiciary in Cameroon is not independent. The president of the republic is the head of the judiciary. He's the one who guarantees the independence of the judiciary, which means that democracy is in trouble.
Cameroon's government insists that its institutions are independent, while Biya's Cameroon People's Democratic Movement Party say the president has fairly won all elections. They say Biya enables young people to participate in decision-making through bodies such as Cameroon's National Youth Council. However, the opposition says Biya appoints only youths loyal to him to head the council. Cameroon's presidential elections are set for next year. President Biya will set the date. Moki Edwin Kinzeka, VOA News, Yaoundé, Cameroon.
And that's all we prepared for you this Monday, April 1st, 2024. We now leave you with Colonel Mido and the song Mama Ama. We have been listening to Colonel Mido singing in his native Kakwa language. I'm your host, John Tanza, on this live broadcast from Studio 14 here in Washington. On behalf of our engineer, Chang, and producer, Kwame Ofori, we wish you a lovely evening. Remember to join us tomorrow for another edition of South Sudan in Focus from the Voice of America.
Next, an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.
It's been almost a year since fighting broke out in Sudan between the Sudanese armed forces, the SAF, and the militia group known as the Rapid Support Forces, the RSF, plunging Sudan into conditions observers describe as hell on earth. 18 million Sudanese face acute hunger, and famine is looming. Nearly 8 million people have been forced from their homes. In December, Secretary of State Antony Blinken determined that members of the SAF and the RSF have committed war crimes. He also determined that members of the RSF and their allied militia have committed crimes against humanity and ethnic cleansing in Darfur. U.S. Special Envoy for Sudan, Tom Perriello, recently traveled to Africa and the Middle East, speaking to leaders and to members of the Sudanese community about the tragedy unfolding in Sudan and the urgent need to relaunch formal peace talks.
We are seeing signs of famine already across the country of Sudan. We have known about horrific atrocities, particularly against women and children, forced recruitment, even slavery in this conflict that must end. And now we're seeing a situation as we head into the rainy season that could quickly get much worse. And the humanitarian crisis is already at a breaking point.
Special Envoy Perriello said the only true solution here is to silence the guns. That, he said, requires the two competing generals, the SAF's army chief Abdel Fattah al-Burhan and RSF head Mohamed Hamdan Dagalo, known as Hemeti, to reach a deal and for all across the region to be partners in peace.
We need to restart formal talks. We hope that will happen as soon as Ramadan is over, that those are inclusive talks of key regional actors as well as key voices from the inside, and that we can reach that agreement not just to end the violence, but to really open up to full humanitarian access.
Special Envoy Perriello said his visit to the region revealed a new sense of urgency about Sudan. Everybody understands that this crisis is barreling toward a point of no return, and that means everybody needs to put whatever differences aside and be united in finding a solution to this conflict. A solution, Special Envoy Perriello declared, that leads to a Sudan where the Sudanese people get to determine their future.
That was an editorial reflecting the views of the United States government.